Well, this has been really good to be here. You guys didn't know it, but I've been here all morning. I just was worshiping the Lord, looking at my notes, and just in His presence by myself. And there's something that I had this sort of feeling of, this is a gathering of warriors. This isn't just, okay, let's get together and just try to learn a couple things and hopefully we can improve our lives a little bit. It's not just about that. There is an improvement in your life when you hear the Lord and when you do what He says. That's part of it. But He has a purpose for you being here. It's not about you. and I really feel like there's some very specific things that He wants to speak to each one of you, and it may not be what I say. It may be something you hear in your heart as I'm speaking. So as I'm speaking the Logos word to you, be aware of the rhema that hits your heart. Do you guys understand the difference between Logos? Logos is just a word. Anytime that there's a rhema that I've received and I give it to you, Logos is technically the written word. But to me, it's more of a regurgitated rhema. It's like I'll tell you what hit my heart, but the only way to truly hear from the Lord is to hear it in your heart. And as that is confirmed in your mind as well, there's fireworks that happen. There's a connection that happens. So be listening for what He shows you as well. And that's my heart for today. Is I want to be a voice and speak what He's given to me. But there's a lot going on, and there's a lot going on in each one of your hearts. You guys are the dedicated ones. You guys are the ones that are going after Him. And so the question I have, and then this is about, I mean, Marcus and I talked about prophecy. What is prophecy? How is it used today? What is our role in prophecy? And I feel like there's so much mystery around it. Like there can be. It seems like, let's play spooky music and talk about prophecy. It's not spooky. It doesn't need to be a mystery, although there are hidden mysteries that God has hidden, not from us, but for us. So it requires us to go after them. The key ingredient to this is your relationship with Him. The reason He's hidden it for us is that as we dig for it, as we go after Him, as we press in, our relationship with Him grows. And yes, we get to be involved in prophecy. We get to be involved with the Holy Spirit. But if it's just for the prophecy and it doesn't have to do with relationship, then it's empty. And we'll get into that. So most Christians find themselves there is some level of understanding. Some just go, no way, I want nothing to do with it. And some are on the other side and they say, that's all I'm going after. And when I think of unity in the body of Christ, I think, man, there's so much disunity around the Holy Spirit, around specifically prophecy, tongues, things like that. Why is there so much disunity? Not necessarily in this group. You guys may be able to get along about it, but you just go into the church next door and start talking about this, and you'll get raised arms and red flags and whatever, or they just run away. You'll see their taillights. So I want to start with 1 Corinthians 12, and just want to I'm not going to read every verse. I have my Bible up here for security here in case the Lord gives me another verse that I don't have written down in my notes. But I'm going to read. I'm kind of going to skip through a little bit, but 1 Corinthians 12:1 says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." So that's the first thing. Paul is saying, learn, understand, don't run away from it. Learn what you guys are here. So you've already demonstrated a desire for that. So next would be starting in verse 7. Says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." And actually, I'm going to keep reading here and then I'll come back and talk about it. "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills." Okay, so this is description of the manifestation of the Spirit. Do you notice a continual repeat through this is to another, and to another, and to another, and to another. He's saying, look around you. I am speaking through all of us. It's not just, again, it's not about you. If you think of a picture that, if I could pull up a picture on the screen and there's pixels in on the screen, each one of you is just a pixel. You're just a dot in the greater scheme of the voice of God, of what God's doing. If you think of it that way, it doesn't diminish your value. It actually increases it, because without you, the whole thing is somewhat compromised, because there's a missing spot. So you're very needed, but you don't encompass the whole picture. This realization that prophecy is part of it. But if we just focus on getting a word for someone, using prophecy, and we don't look at all of them. So he says, concerning spiritual gifts, I don't want you to be ignorant. So this message today is not just about prophecy, although that's what we're going to focus on, because that's sort of an outworking continually in our midst. So just going through this, a word of wisdom, knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, different kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. Every one of those is a gift. He says the gifts of the Spirit, the manifestation of the Spirit. So I want to give an analogy here that if you hear it wrong, you could misunderstand what I'm saying. So just catch this. Spirit world compared to natural world, there are spiritual truths that affect the natural world. The spiritual truths many times are, it's all encompassing for good and evil. In other words, it's like gravity affects all of us. So one of the spiritual truths is that a spirit needs a host to live in. That's why there's demon possession. That's why, I mean, demons need a place, need a body to live in. God is no different. He is a spirit. He needs a body to live in. He needs a body to speak through, a body to touch with. See, God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. If we just think of it as, well, God's just completely different. He can do what he wants. Not really, because he lives inside of the laws that he has established. There's a reason that he had to take a part of his spirit, put it inside of the womb of a human, Mary, and have a son. Now, this is an amazing mystery, and the angels are like, how is this possible? Because we can't, like, this is, okay, mind blown. Like, they're just like, doesn't make any sense. Angels long to look into this. How did God do this, where he repopulated himself around the world inside of us? Now, no longer is a spirit limited to one person. We now collectively, as each a pixel or a cell in the body of Christ, in the body, in God's body on the earth, we are each a cell in his body. So in his dwelling inside of us, he becomes himself. So have you guys watched superhero movies where there's like, you guys, I don't know if, I'm trying to remember the name of the movie, but there's this thing where these little robots, and they're like all just a little thing. And as they collect together, it becomes this bigger being that is able to speak, you know, and it's like each one of those little robots is just a little robot. And I saw that and I was like, man, that's how you work, God. That's amazing. And so think of this, that the spiritual law of needing a body to live in, needing a body to speak through, that's why all these different gifts are, they're given and manifested by the same Spirit. By one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So I was spending time with him one time, and he spoke to me and he said, when you are who I call you, then I am myself in you. And it seemed like strange words. It wasn't quite the way I would have worded it, but he does that sometimes. He says it in just a little different phrase, and I'm like, that I don't think in words exactly that way, but every word is specific to me because he has called me a name. He has called me. There is a name that he's given me. It's a name that he's given to each one of you. And it's not your given English name. It is your identity name. When you are who he calls you, you free him up to move. When you restrict him to your own preconceived ideas about this, he's bottled up. He's like a genie in a bottle and he can't get out. He can't do what he wants to do because of a whole number of things. It could be unbelief in your heart. It could be fear. It could be preconceived ideas, false ideas that you operate on. He's like, well, free me up, man. I want to move about the country. I want to move about the world. I want to do what I want to do. So thinking of this, that each one of these gifts is Holy Spirit having freedom. He ministers to each one, and it may be different for you from time to time. Just because you got a word of prophecy doesn't mean you're a prophet. Just because you got a word of knowledge doesn't mean that you specifically have this ongoing word of knowledge gift. That it's just, that's who I am. That's, you limit what he wants to do through you. I have had gifts of healing where, I mean, it's just like, my hand is just on fire. And I literally was like, I got healing. Who wants it? I mean, I knew it. Boom, healed. I didn't even pray for him. I mean, it was a gift. Now, I'm standing here today. My hand is not burning hot. If the Lord tells me, if I have this understanding that I have a gift of healing right now, I'm going to use it. Oh, I'll run down the street and use it. It's this freedom to just flow with him and not get trapped in our ideas of, well, this is what I'm supposed to do. This is my role. And I just, if you think of it, a pixel on a screen, does it always have the same color? I mean, how does the movie in the on the screen flow? Each pixel just boop, 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 changes colors all the time. That's the greater picture is happening because each pixel is changing rapidly. Let him be himself in you. Don't get stuck in just one thing. Now, that was 1 Corinthians 12. What is the chapter right after that? 1 Corinthians 13. All of this. And I'm not even going to, I don't have it to just go through and read it because for sake of time. Has anyone here not read 1 Corinthians 13? Okay. Go and read it and meditate on it on your own and put in the word God, because God is love. I go back and forth and put my name in there because he works through love. He works through me. He works through himself. But he says, okay, desire all these spiritual gifts. Like, this is the way the Holy Spirit moves and works through us. But if I can do all those things, let's say I'm doing all those things and I don't have love, I'm a dead pixel. I wasn't even planning to use pixels as an example. I didn't have it in my notes, but it's cool. Like, I'm like, that's the right way to think of it. So that's Holy Spirit right now giving me a specific example that I didn't plan on. So if you have all the ability to do these things, even giving your body to be burned, and you don't have love, it profits nothing. Literally profits nothing. He's not even saying, if I try to prophesy and I don't get it right. He's saying, even if I can. Even if you give a word of prophecy and it's true. Even if you're able to do these gifts and you don't have love, you're a clanging cymbal. You're annoying. Can I say it that way? Has anybody met an annoying prophet? A person who thinks they're a prophet? Constantly trying to give a word of prophecy. Constantly trying to display Holy Spirit to people through the gifts. It is annoying. I've shut people down already. Because I don't even care if they did hear from the Lord. Guess what? They're not the only person I can hear from. God can speak to me through my own heart. He can speak through someone else. But if I am not sensing love in that person, it's not that I just go, well, I'm not listening, la, 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 la. I'm like, I really want them to understand that the message that they're giving off is shallow and pale and annoying, not just to me, but to the body and to unbelievers. That's where there's been a lot of disunity, because there's been a lot of clanging cymbals, especially if you're in the circles of what, you know, full gospel. Let's believe the whole gospel, that God wants to manifest himself. Word of faith, people say, oh, what's the word of faith? It's just from a verse that says that word of faith which we speak, the word is near you and in your mouth. So if you're in circles where prophecy and gifts of the Spirit are accepted and sort of heralded, looked for, it's easy to be a clanging cymbal. Go to Bible college where that's, you know, an exciting thing. Man, there's a lot of clanging going on. It's like, oh, but, and I'm not saying that God isn't able to use that. He's amazing. He can use a lot of messed up people. But we don't have to be those messed up people. We don't have to do that. There's a better way. 1 Corinthians 13. Now he says, I speak to you a better way. There's a better way. Have love. True love of the Father. Agape love, where you see people the way God sees them. You see yourself the way God sees you, and you have nothing to prove. Love does not put itself out there. Love does not lift itself up. Love is patient and kind. Can you be patient and kind if you've got a word for somebody? Like, be kind, be gentle. Allow God to speak, not you, to try to drive his word and give his word. He doesn't need your power. What he needs is your humility, your surrender to him, your simplicity. God's simple. All right. Then we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 14. Verse 1 says, pursue love. Okay, so he reiterates all of 1 Corinthians 13. Then he says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Ah, interesting. Here we are coming back to prophecy. Remember love. I'm going to keep coming back to this. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification. Now, is he saying you're greater in the eyes of God? Please tell me no. Like, he's not saying you're just a greater person. He's just saying it has more impact. There's more benefit to more people. It's not that you're worth more or something like that. We're going to get into where do you find your worth? Because a lot of people get their worth from what they try to do like this. So we'll get into that. But Paul is talking about interpretation of tongues, which I'm not going to get into the specifics of tongues and all that stuff. Just it's a longer description that I think we would miss too much if I try to describe those things. But when I pray in tongues, I have many, many times, I have understanding in my heart because I've asked for it. I've asked, I want interpretation. Give me interpretation. And still, there are times where I don't have interpretation. I don't even know. And yet, the Lord is able to speak. Now, there's the specifics of tongues, a heavenly language, your prayer language, whatever you want to, however it's been described to you. It is a gift. It's something that God has given us to be able to take spirit, truth, and purely deliver it into the natural. So the dominant power is the spirit power. The spirit power always was. In fact, if we really want to get into this, I have always existed. I have no beginning and I have no end. You're no different if you truly believe that you were in him before the foundation of the world, that he knew you before the foundation of the world. And we in him, we live and move and have our being. Because of this, if you can recognize our oneness with him before creation, he took part of himself and put it in you from the beginning. So we were created to hear his voice. We were created to be with him. This is not a surprise to him. We are the purpose of everything that he created the earth and the universe for man specifically and put man in the center of it. Everything surrounded, everything, all of creation was for man so that man would have a place to live. Man was created so that God would have a place to live here. Okay, so He's talking about tongues and prophecy, signs for believers, unbelievers. I'm going to skip on down through here. Verse 24. Verse 23. Therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say that you are out of your mind? But if all prophesy and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all and he is convicted by all. And thus the secrets of his heart are revealed. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. Has anyone had this happen? And anyone had this happen to you where the Lord spoke to you through you to an unbeliever and they worship God? You've had that happen? It's amazing. I mean, people say you read their mail or, you know, whatever. I had this experience where I was flying. I was getting on a plane. I was by myself. And I like to sit by the window because I'm an imaginer and I like to fly. I fly a powered paraglider. So I've been sitting on a seat and just nothing. It's a trike, but I took it up to 7,000 feet and shut the engine off and just sat there. It's amazing. There's nothing around. It's awesome. But I visualize flying. When I'm getting in a commercial airplane, I'm looking out because I enjoy that. So I was getting on a plane. I was going to be getting on a plane, and I realized I had a seat. It was in the middle. I'd been assigned a seat. I couldn't pick my seat when I bought the ticket, got to the airport, got the boarding pass, and it's like, this is in the middle. I don't like sitting in the middle. It's like the worst. You can't get out, and you can't look out. And so I was like, okay, I'm just one guy. So I went, tried to change my ticket, and they couldn't do it. Like, nope, sorry. All the seats are booked. I'm like, I'm one guy. Like, surely somebody's going to make some changes. That was at the ticket counter. I went to the gate, talked to the gate agent. I want to change my seat. Sorry, sir, not possible. I just backed off to the side, and I'm standing there, and I'm just like, somebody's going to change their seat. And I saw, and I was close enough I could hear, groups of two, three, four people come up. Hey, we'd like to change our seat. Oh, sure, no problem. New boarding passes to these people. Finally, I was standing back there. I was like, I was almost thinking cuss words in my mind about that gate agent. I was like, you got a little, And all at once, I had this. I was like, thinking of myself, you selfish little, what? Catch this. God is doing something. If I can't do something so simple of changing a seat, there's something bigger going on. Something is afoot. And I was like, oh, okay. Lord, what are you doing? Because this is not natural here. What's going on? What are you doing? And he said, watch what I will do. Okay, good. All right, now I'm at peace. I will sit in the middle and be watching. Got on, sat in the middle, and this lady who couldn't shut up sat next to me. And there was nobody on the aisle. And I'm like, okay, sweet. So I'm going to move over here as soon as we take off. Right before the door closed, this girl comes in and sits beside me. So I'm trapped between a girl who she didn't acknowledge me at all, sat down, reading a book, and earphones in. Didn't say hi, nothing. Just put her thing and sat. And this lady's, so I'll tell you one thing that happened with her, because I held conversation with her. I was not acting annoyed to her. I participated in the conversation, but it was just meaningless conversation. And it's like, she's just trying to get her point across on so many things. It's like, well, no, I think this and I think that. And so about halfway through the flight, this girl sort of came to. It's like maybe her song ended or whatever. She took her earbuds out and And I just, as a way of escaping this conversation, I said, hey, hi, I see you're out of your story and you're, you know, what's your name? And started a little conversation with this girl. And she had, her book was this gold gilded pages. It looked like a Bible. I mean, it looked like that. And it was stuck in the seat pocket. And I thought, oh, it must be a Bible. And so I said, what book are you reading? And she goes, oh, this is, and it was some Greek philosopher self-help thing of like, find yourself in the world of meaninglessness or something, you know? And I'm like, okay, wow. And she said, yes, I'm on my way to find truth. And I said, really? And I'm thinking, truth just sat next to you. Like, not me, but the Spirit of God himself. I am the mercy seat of, my heart is the mercy seat. You got the Spirit of God sitting next to you. What are you doing, Lord? And he said, I am speaking. Tell her I'm speaking and that she needs to listen. I said, okay. I said, well, this is exciting because I tried to change my seat. I couldn't change my seat. God put me here. Okay. God is speaking to you. Listen well. He is your father. Whether or not you've accepted him or not, he's your father. He wants you to come to him. He's speaking. Listen to him. She's like, that's so weird. Like, what do you mean? So I started there like Philip started with the eunuch, and I gave her the gospel in about 40 minutes of talking through being adopted or adopting two of our kids, having, you know, that God wants to adopt her back into his family and stuff like that. And so I described this to her. She'd never heard it, knew nothing of the gospel, knew nothing about God. And she gets out a notebook and just starts writing. And so here comes this other lady. She's still sitting there and she's listening. This whole conversation is, and she leans over me. She's like, you should try church sometime. And, you know, blasting comments like, and I said, what good would that do? And she's like, ah. And I said, she does not need church. Church has led more people away from God than anything else I know. Like, why would she want church? And she's just like, I mean, I blasted her, but I said, think of it. God wants her to find him. You think that her going to church, all she's going to find is a bunch of broken people that don't know God themselves. Now, fine. If you can go to church and you can worship God and you can encounter him, great. You go to a good church. But don't just say you should try church. You have no idea what she's going to find. Help her find God first. She'll get to church. And she didn't say another word the rest of the trip. And anyway, I need to hurry this here. So we went, got off the, we landed first. And I had been saying this, said it a couple times. God is speaking. Your father is speaking to you. Your father is speaking to you. Listen well. Listen to him. I took my phone off of airplane mode as soon as we landed. And I got a text from a friend of mine in Washington State, which I hadn't lived there for a while. Moved away from there in 08. Okay, so it was a long time ago. Still a close friend of mine. And he texted me. And his text said, Father is speaking to you today. Listen well. Talk about two pixels going together right here, man. And I saw this text and the Lord spoke to me. He said, that's for her. Show her. Now, how many of you have ever gotten a text that you've shown to a perfect stranger and you said, this is a text for you? It was weird. It's like, no. He said, I had to send it through you because you're the only access I have to her. Oh, I said, I just got a text for you. She's like, what? Like, what do you mean? I said, okay, so here's the thing. I just want you to read the text. This is the text. And she'd got these like complete wide eyed, like, and she goes, "That's word for word. That's exactly what you've been saying." I said, "It's because God is speaking through me. He put me here. I'm the only access he has to you. He had to put me here so that he could speak to you. And he had to have my friend send me a text. No idea on our conversation. My phone has been on airplane mode. I couldn't text him and say, please quick send this text. I just turned it on. Here comes a text. Boom. This is because God is using multiple people to speak to you." And she was like, she was undone. I mean, she's like, I have no idea even what to think of this. Gets her thing, starts writing in her notebook again, and people start getting off the plane. And I have this rule that when I'm by myself, I will not speak to a girl on my own. I'm not going to approach a girl. I'm married and I'm very happily married, and I have no interest in all of the gross results of something like that. So I don't even want anything implied. I will not start a conversation. Sitting on an airplane, I'm placed there. So she gets off and is walking up the jetway, and I'm hanging back because I'm like, job done. I'm out. And the Lord says, go ask her if she wants to be born again. And I'm like, no, you go ask her. And he's like, I'm trying. Move your feet. Micah. I have a rule, and I'm not breaking that rule. I've committed that. And he goes, yeah, I know. Good job. Now go ask her. You're so disrespectful to my rules sometimes. Anyway, I knew it was him. I walked up beside her. She's still walking. And I said, I have a question for you. Would you like to pray and receive Jesus as your savior and become born again? And she stopped walking. And there's all these people start piling up behind us because everybody's walking. She stops. She looks at me and she says, yes, thank you for asking. So I said, all right, right outside this jetway, we're going to find two seats. Walked right out and sat right outside the gate, the opening in the door. And sat there and she prayed and got born again. I got her, got my wife's. Sent her my wife's information, gave her my wife's phone number. They texted back and forth. We got her connected. My wife sent her a bunch of stuff, Bible and some different books and stuff that have really spoken to us. And she got plugged in at a church. She was on her way to Hawaii to find truth, and she'd have found everything but truth. And she got interrupted. She lives in Muncie, Indiana, got baptized. She's plugged into a church. And anyway, how does that happen? That's the purpose of prophecy. That's the purpose of the gifts of the Spirit, is for the people that God is rescuing. God is speaking to. He's going after the world, and we are his body. We're one part of his body. That whole story was not in my notes.